Well, today we certainly see a strong emphasis on the end times, which, as we noted earlier, the church always highlights at the end of each liturgical year. And it's by design. It's not by some kind of happenstance. The liturgical cycle ends with Christ the King Sunday, next Sunday, as it points to the final reality that we all yearn for, the reality of heaven, which is only possible for us through the victory of our Lord and King, through his passion, death, and resurrection. In order to get there, though, we need to contend with the other last things. Heaven is one of four classic last things. The other three, which come first, death, judgment, and hell. And then heaven. No doubt heaven should be the primary focus. But if we don't respect the others, if we don't contend with them, then we can't stay on the path to heaven. We're going to get sidetracked. Yet many people today want to write these first three off. Oh, come on, that's old-fashioned medieval stuff. Everybody goes to heaven, so let's just focus on heaven, right? Jesus is a big teddy bear. Malachi's not fooled by this nonsense, which the same kind of stuff was going on back in his time, way before Christ. And we see this in today's first reading. Speaking through Malachi, the Lord says, "For you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays." Intriguing, right? What is the Son of Justice that the prophet speaks of here? Or more properly, who is the Son of Justice? He's pointing to Jesus, of course. But then what is justice? What does that really mean? Setting things right, not letting sin slide, allowing God's light to scatter all darkness, not just a little bit, but all the darkness, allowing his light to come into the very depths of our soul, even, yes, those places that we're kind of scared to let him come. And the ultimate justice is total self-emptying love, which Jesus exemplifies par excellence on the cross. That's the ultimate justice. As we saw very recently, I didn't go back and look, but I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, true justice is not about demanding retribution from others who have wronged us. Rather, it is all about reaching out to those who have wronged us, to right the wrongs, reaching out in humble sacrifice, just like Jesus. He didn't wrong any of us. We all wronged him. And yet, he went to the cross, and he still reaches out from the cross to us even to this day. And this, friends, is where true healing comes from. That's where it comes from the wounds of Christ and our participation in them. This is how we build up the body of Christ. It's his blood that binds us together as we become more and more a Eucharistic people. But we must first recognize our need for healing and then seek his healing rays, the beautiful rays that emanate from his wounds. But so many aren't doing either of these today. Oh, I don't need any healing. You know, I'm good. I'm all right. I don't need all that Jesus stuff. Or even people that do recognize their need for healing, I don't need to go to the Lord. You know, I can pick myself up by the bootstraps. I can handle this, right? Wrong. What does it mean to fear his name, as the Lord says through Malachi? Well, to seek him first, above everything else. To seek ongoing conversion, transformation, which leads to healing. We're all wounded in various ways, shapes, and forms, whether we like to admit it or not. And it's through conversion and transformation that he heals us, makes us whole again. Notice how the proud and the evildoers don't fare so well. Since they don't fear his name and therefore don't seek true justice. They're focused on themselves. That's what they care about, right? They're not so much focused on the Lord at all. So, brothers and sisters, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Don't suffer the same fate. What's being pointed at in that first reading is eternal. It's an eternal fate. All this fire and they're going to be burned up. This isn't like a little one-time thing, a little stinger, and then they're off to the races. We're talking about eternal fate. None of us have to suffer that fate. God gives us every single opportunity to go in a different direction. So instead, prepare well now for the end times. Be always ready. That's what Jesus is getting at. The people in the gospel today, they kind of want him to give us a sign. What's going to be the time so we can, you know, so we can get our act together, right? We don't want to follow you now, but tell us when we can kind of get a sense of it, and then we'll kind of get our act together. That's what they're getting at, right? Be always ready. That's where Jesus is pointing us. So that when he, the Son of Justice, arises for the final time, you will welcome him with great joy and be welcomed with him into eternal joys. That's what he wants for you. And that's what all of our hearts yearn for. Today's gospel passage also clearly points to the end times and echoes the same message. I already kind of mentioned a little bit about it. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives, Jesus teaches. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Persevering and following him is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. But it can be tiring. It's not easy, as we all know. To follow him means to fear his name, to love and respect his name. And that's not easy. And so it takes determination. It takes resolve. We have to keep after it. Yet, it is well worth the effort. Well worth the effort. This is the best path for you now, by far. The best path by far. And leads you to those eternal joys with him in heaven. So yes, it's well worth it. Plus, you don't know the time or the hour when the end will come. But if you stay close to Christ, if you persevere, if you're always prepared, then it doesn't matter. You have nothing to worry about because you're in communion with him. And no matter what happens, he's going to welcome you into his loving embrace. Look at what happens, though, if you do persevere and follow him and honor his name. Terrible, scary things will take place across the globe. He talks about wars and about earthquakes and things are going on in the sky. And then people are going to come and they're going to try to deceive you and lead you astray. And it's going to seem like the end. Oh, all these things are happening. It's getting crazy out there. Much of this is going on right now, right? There's all kinds of people trying to deceive you. And we see all kinds of natural things going on in the world. But don't worry. Jesus says, don't be deceived. It's not the end yet. And even before this happens, you will be persecuted and will give testimony because of Christ's name. You will be handed over by family and friends and even hated by all because of his name. Good times, right? Sounds pretty fun. But remember, he says, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand. And you think, wow, Jesus, what are you talking about? Why wouldn't we want to be prepared for this? That's crazy. Yet he assures you, I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all of your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. There we see the key. It's in and through him. If you go out and try to do that on your own, you're not going to have the right words. You're not going to have him speaking through you. But when you allow him to lead, that's when the true power of Christ is unleashed. So friends, persevere. And ultimately you will triumph. Persevere in following Christ, that is. And then he triumphs in you. This is the cost and the glory of discipleship. All in one right there. Now let us return to those last things, especially to death, judgment, and hell. Now you can't avoid death, no matter how much you want to. And our society radically wants to try to avoid death at all costs. Ain't going to happen. So you can't avoid it. But it really isn't something to fear anyway. It merely is a portal to eternal life with God for those who die to themselves each day and rise to new life in him. It's just a portal. I'm not trying to say it's easy. I mean, oftentimes it's painful. There's a lot of suffering and whatnot. But it's a portal to new life in him. To be sure, though, you will all be judged at the moment of your death. No one's going to escape this. Me? No people. We all have to answer to Jesus. It's called the particular judgment, right at the moment of our death. But it's nothing to be feared. Once again, just be prepared. then you will have absolutely nothing to fear. Jesus will welcome you with open arms. You'll give him a high five. Everything's going to be good. Might be a little pit stop in purgatory for some of us, but you're going to be on your way to heaven at the very least. Plus, you will live the best life possible leading up to your death. So why not walk this way with him, right? On the flip side, though, you must always remember that hell is a real possibility for each and every one of us. So don't take it lightly. You don't have to run, you don't have to fear, you just have to walk with the Lord. But don't take it lightly. It is a real possibility, eternal separation from our Lord. So yes, don't take it lightly. Instead, strive for heaven each day. Be not afraid to walk with Christ amidst resistance, great and small. Just trust in him and then he will take care of the rest. He'll take care of it. You don't have to do anything but say yes. And in all truth, you can't handle all the struggles in your life. Neither can I, no matter how hard you try. But he can. That's why he took on flesh, died on the cross for you, and rose again. Because he knows that you need a Savior. He knows you can't handle it. And he wants to take it on. So just surrender to him, and then let him take care of it all. It's marvelous. Just surrender it to him. And now, as we conclude, we're going to return to today's opening prayer. It's just spot on with all these things we've been talking about. It crystallizes them very well. So I present it to you in full here and invite you to make this prayer your own. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you. For it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good.